Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to introduce our absolutely wonderful guest for the day, Abby Thompson. Abby, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
I am too. You know, everyone, you're in for a treat today because Abby is a very young real estate entrepreneur in the multifamily space. She's 22 years old, I believe, and she's killing it. So really excited to hear about your story, you know, how you're going to school and being an entrepreneur and everything else. So why don't you start us off, Abby, and we'll, you know, I'll ask questions along the way, but tell me a bit about how and why you got into real estate investing in the first place.
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. So I'm glad I get to share it. I always look for a reason to talk about this, but yeah. I started just to give a little bit of background because it's kind of helpful, but I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. I've always watched my dad be an entrepreneur. He was in real estate, single family real estate investing since I was about 10. So at a really young age, I got to see real estate from a very specific perspective of real estate investing through him. What's funny is until about my freshman year of college, I hated his job. I thought it was the worst thing in the world, and it was literally the last thing on the list in my head that I wanted to go and do after I graduated. The single family side is very cold call-y. It's very direct mails. You have to walk into those kind of it all depends on how you approach it. But the way he was doing it was like the we buy ugly houses style. So he was going into these nasty houses. He was having to spray himself with fleas and dealing with people that are just not always the most kind. It's a very difficult customer relations type of business in my head, or from what I was seeing. And one summer I messed something up a summer while I was working with him, and it was chaos. And I was like, this is awful. So I hated it.
And did you say spray himself with,
like, he would come out of these houses with fleas on him and have to spray himself for fleas.
Oh man.
With like flea repellent. And I'm like, I do not want fleas. Like, that's the last thing that seems appealing to me in a career. And so I just was like, no, that's not it. We're not doing that. But about my first semester of my college career, I was a freshman taking a business law class, and I thought I loved law, and I still kind of do. But on that track, I was like, well, maybe after graduation, I'll go to law school. Then I started thinking, well, I really want to travel. I really, really want to take a good chunk of time from when I graduated from undergrad to potentially going to law school and just go across Europe. I wanted to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, however I wanted in Europe. That was the dream. But I was going to school full time. So I was thinking, how do I financially do this? And around that time frame, when I was really thinking about this, my dad came up to my campus, and it was just him. And we had dinner, and I was like, Dad, how do I go travel? And he was like, well, if you're going to go travel Europe, you're either taking me with you or I'm not paying for it. And I was like, well, neither of those options sound good to me because I'm 18 and in college. And so I was like, okay, well, then how do I amass all of this money? Because I didn't want to work while I was over there. And he goes, well, you need passive income. That was a phrase I'd heard since I was 10 years old, why he was in real estate, passive income. And I was like, in that moment, I was sitting at a burger joint or something like that. And in that moment, it was the crashing sense of holy crap, my parents have been right this whole time.
I love it.
And so I said, okay, well, how do I do that? And that's when we both started learning multifamily. So he, in that time frame, was also looking to transition his single family business into multifamily. We started learning, educating ourselves on multifamily syndications together. And then we went to a conference. And at the end of this conference, we realized that our skills really, really meshed with each other. We kind of balanced each other out in a way that was beneficial in how the business worked. And so we decided to partner together. This was...
Real quick, Abby, tell me a bit about your dad's transition from single family to, you know, getting interested in multifamily. It sounds like you guys got interested in it at the same time.
He had always been thinking about it. So his goal was always to get as many doors as possible and create that passive income. He really wanted to just have property that can generate money for him and our family and build his retirement, all that. But he was hustling. He was having to buy so many doors, and it's draining of resources, of time, of energy. And he's like, I did this to have more time, more energy, not less of it. And he had always seen apartment buildings and gone, wow, if I could just own one of those, like I would be set. But he always thought it was more institutional, like REITs and hedge funds that could own these types of real estate. And then we met this one person, his name is Corey Peterson, and he was the one that introduced us to multifamily. And this was, I'm going to have to say, probably like 2017 is probably my timeline of this. So he had been thinking about it for a couple years, and we didn't end up pulling the trigger until 2019. That's when him and I decided to partner together.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
And so your dad had been buying these We Like Ugly houses. He'd been doing the whole getting, you know, cheap houses or houses that were in poor shape, and then turning them into single family rentals. Is that right?
Yeah. So we had amassed, I mean, we did all sorts of stuff. He did wholesale flips. He did all of them, but we had amassed a good rental portfolio. And then around 2019, when we decided to do multifamily, we essentially sold off the majority of our rental portfolio. I think we still have 4 or 5 in our little bundle. That's just because they kind of run themselves and there's no reason to get rid of them. But we used the money by selling off all of those properties to fund the startup of our multifamily side.
Okay. Very, very cool. And so have you gotten to go traveling yet?
See, you're the second person to ask me that. And no, I haven't, which is funny. But that I'm okay with it because I'm building something that hopefully, I mean, my dream is that this becomes something that can kind of run itself and I can get out of the business a little bit and then just go do life. I'm hoping to build a travel and be a mom and a wife and all do all the good stuff. So essentially why I'm in real estate is to have it all, as that little coined woman term.
Yeah, totally. I know. That's really cool. I just think that's interesting because, you know, I feel like I have a somewhat parallel story to you because I actually had joined corporate and then I ended up leaving corporate and traveling the world for 18 months, but without a plan. And even though I had done some real estate, like house flipping, house hacking, and things like that, I didn't have the mentality of being a real estate entrepreneur. But then I was like at the end of I was getting towards the end of my savings and, you know, some various things happened. And I was at a hostel in Patagonia and I had a reckoning moment and the words passive income popped into my head. And that's when I realized I needed to pursue entrepreneurship full time. And then it ended up being a real estate entrepreneur. So I traveled and then I discovered it. And then now it's just more, it's less about the travel for me because back then I think the travel was a little bit of an escape from reality. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, well, I can control my time. I can do what I want, but I don't necessarily need to be like on the road permanently.
Yes.
I can be based here, still travel a bunch. Anyways. So
no, I totally get it.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So tell me about what it is that you guys are doing these days, you and your dad.
Okay. So acquisition side, we buy larger scale multifamily. Our focus is to buy larger scale multifamily properties. So we look at B mainly asset classes and we try and get B to A markets, about 100 plus stores is the goal.
And are you looking in Dallas or somewhere else where you're based or anywhere else?
Yeah. So our focus currently is the DFW metropolitan area, simply because we've developed a lot of really great broker relationships here in this market. However, we do look at pretty much anything that takes a drive to get to, we'll check it out. We're open to other things, but those are the markets that we really understand best, is the Texas area, Oklahoma, and Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah. Those three are kind of our specialty, I would say, and what we target. But again, as always, we are always looking for new deals and things like that. But those are, that's kind of what we call our buy box.
So what was that transition like for you and your dad going from single family to, can you tell me about your first deal?
Yeah. So our first deal was a little bit of chaos, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of education within multifamily teaches you how to go from here's a listing, now here is how you get to contract. So just like understanding how to go after deals and what that looks like and underwriting, and then simply getting to the LOI phase and the contract, hitting that point. But there's very little education other than just simply networking with people who have already done it. Very little education on from contract to management, mm-hmm. and then beyond. So we hit a lot of road bumps when it came to capital raising, when it came to legal documents and programs, and then finding property management companies. So there was just so many pieces that are at play at one time that if you're not prepared for what's coming ahead, even just a little bit more than you think you are, it was essentially like putting out fires pretty much every single day.
Wow.
Which kept us on our toes. However,
what kind of property was it?
So 76 units in Irving, Texas. It was a C-class, working class community, heavily Hispanic-based demographics. But the community itself was so tight-knit, had full occupancy, there was waiting lists. The property manager, the person working on the property, was phenomenal and so in tune with the community already there. We were able to actually be able to keep her, which she's been a rock star and really has been crucial to our business plan and executing that for that property. But it was just it was a big learning experience all around for all of us, which we're super grateful for. And it's worked out. I mean, it's a Dallas property, so it's definitely performed higher than what we had expected, which has been incredible.
And what year did you acquire it?
This was October of 2021.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was definitely last year sometime.
Okay. Like 6 months ago or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not
bad. I think we've hit like 4 or 5 months under management so far.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to learn somehow, right? And there's always going to be some growing pains, I think, when you undertake a new asset class. I mean, especially on the management side. So different kinds of growing pains. So that's great. And like, what was your business plan with that property?
We really just wanted to cultivate it. It had some deferred maintenance. The previous owner, once he had decided he was going to sell it, kind of let stuff slide that isn't the most conducive when you own residential communities. And so it was really just kind of fixing that up. We have a couple capital improvements that we want to do. So we moved our office, and they had a laundry facility that broke. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar, but last February in Texas, we had a big freeze and that broke the laundry facility. So we're going to refix that.
So they hadn't fixed it yet.
It's in process.
Okay.
But adding value where we can, and then just cultivating that community as much as we can, keeping tenants happy and
that. This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to Lux.com.
luxe-cap.com, luxe-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
I was wondering if you were planning on, what I meant was the, so it happened in February, you guys purchased it in October, and the previous owner hadn't started fixing the laundry room yet. Yeah, which is too bad. I mean, obviously these things can take time, but you got to get it started.
Right. And what's crazy is we actually started underwriting the property. So we submitted our LOI for this acquisition in March. We didn't end up fully signing our contracts until late May, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it was even June or later in the summer. And then we didn't end up taking over the property until the very, very end of September, I think, into October. So the process in entirety just to get it under management was 8 months, 6 months.
Yeah, that is a long time for sure.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And what about unit upgrades? Were you thinking about doing any of those or?
We have some interior plans, mainly just the normal turnovers. We might fix a few things, update some stuff so that it actually meets market standards now. It's a pretty old property. I want to say it's 67, 76, one of the two, something like that. So it's on the older vintage. So we want to just update it a little bit so that it meets the urban standards of living.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so Abby, just taking a step back for a minute, you're in college, right? Or are you done with college?
Okay, so I just graduated last May.
Okay, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and so you're just doing this full-time?
I am, finally full-time, yes. So this will be, okay. I think, 6 months full-time.
Okay, and then how are you getting paid? Or are you living on savings?
So there's different pieces to it. So I am invested in the acquisitions that we do. So I am always part of the GP side of our properties. So that in turn gives me cash flow and returns from our actual acquisitions. And we get acquisition fees from all of our properties as well. And I get a portion of that as part of it and then savings. So it's a mixture of it all.
Okay. Yeah.
Ideally, I'm hoping to live off of all of my properties in the next year.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Well, I mean, just kudos to you for getting started. So how many multifamilies have you guys acquired so far?
We just have the one right now. And then we always have some in a various phase of statuses.
Yeah, totally. I mean, but you got your first one under your belt, and that's like obviously the hardest one. And I mean, there's, for those of you who haven't heard the term law of the first deal, there is this law, which people speak of, called law of the first deal, which is that it's really hard to get your first deal. But then once you do, it's like, it gets easier after that. So
absolutely. We thought it was a myth, but it has proven to be true.
Very, very cool. Well, that is very exciting. And so are you guys taking on investor capital?
Absolutely. We do a mixture of partnerships as well as private equity. So always looking for investors who think that what we do and our mission and stuff like that aligns with their financial goals. And if those things mesh well together, we're happy to bring them on as investors.
Okay, cool. And I read that you are working in the investor relations part. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's my main goal at the moment. I try and touch every piece of our business, not only to learn it and hopefully, because like I said, I'm hoping to take this over when my parents want to retire. So I try and be a part of every piece of the business, but that is my main role.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And how has that been for you? I mean, as a, like where you are in your life, raising capital from people?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. I haven't been asked it quite that way. It can be challenging for sure. I have a good amount of credibility behind me with my dad being my partner and then us now having acquisitions and a good background in single family real estate. However, I am still very young and unfortunately this still matters, but I am also a woman. So having both of those adds certain nuances to the conversations. That isn't always the greatest. However, I have found that most people really connect with what we do as a company as a whole. And then a lot of people really love my dad and I's story to begin with. So both of those things help when it comes to trying to communicate with two investors what we do and how that can benefit them. And I'm always trying to look at it from the standpoint of my goal is to assist them in whatever they're trying to accomplish. So many people have financial goals, whether it's to grow their savings, build passive income, assist in retirement, all this and more. So really, I'm always trying to problem solve and how multifamily real estate in specific can be the solution to accomplishing what they want.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. You know, I think as someone who's talking to people about investing large sums of their savings or retirement, you know, there's always going to be things that are working for you and things that are maybe, whether you like it or not, in our favor, right? And so Figuring out that angle, right, of how to connect with and approach people and just understanding that some people are going to be the right people and some people are not, and then just keeping on going, right? And believing in yourself And believing that what you have to offer is something that people need.
Exactly. And I always have to, I remind myself of this frequently, but I'm going to put who I am out there. And it ties kind of into the know, like, and trust factor, but I'm going to be as authentically myself and as honest with what we do as I can be and as transparent as I can be with all of our investors. And if those people and people are attracted to that, that's who is supposed to be in my business. And if you're not, then it's okay because there are all of these other people that will be. And so you have to just remind yourself that, like, not everyone is meant to be a part of the dreams you're trying to create for yourself as well. So there's that piece too.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's a really great mindset to be in. And it's true too, right? It's very true. We don't have time for everybody or space. And so you're going to attract the people that are attracted to you and everyone will have a great time.
Exactly.
Okay. Before we close up for today, I was wondering if you could share how you knew you were entrepreneurial from an early age.
Good question. So I think it started out where I thought this. I just really didn't like being told what to do, if that makes sense. And not in the way of like authority. That's not, I'm not like authority defiant, but I'm very strong-headed. I see my vision. I'm going to go execute it. And that's kind of just how it's going to go. That's how I was as a kid. I mean, I've grown a little bit where it's not like my way or the highway kind of situation. And then I also was very creative as a kid. So I would always find all these like crafts and things. And in order to maybe cultivate my entrepreneurship skill set, my family would aid me in building businesses. So when I was 8, I was selling purses that I made out of skirts to my friends and stuff like that. So it kind of, and we built business plans and I had a budget and like all this stuff. So I was able to do some of those things and they would put me in programs that would educate me on how to do other things like that as well. And so it kind of just worked. And now here I am and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. So when you say programs, you mean like business programs for children or for kids and youth?
Yeah, kind of. So I took a summer club where it was teaching personal finance. And some of that was, I think it was about 10 when I did this too. So it was how to build money, grow money, and make money. And it was in just like broad scope. So it was not super detailed, but it definitely gave me exposure to money education at a really young age. And so those conversations were never taboo in our household. And so it was once I got older and like seeing businesses and how they functioned and then seeing my dad's business and how it functioned, it kind of started making sense. And we would have really open conversations about that kind of stuff. And that just ended up building a business setup knowledge in my head.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks so much, Abby, for sharing your story and, you know, getting started in multifamily and just your really special journey with your dad. So thanks so much. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This has been an absolute blast and I love talking about this. So I'm happy to do it anytime. And you can find me or my business, Thompson Multifamily Group, on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under Thompson Multifamily Group. We also have a website of thompsonmultifamilygroup.com. And then we have our own podcast called Next Level American Dream. So you can hear more about some interviews very similar to this on those platforms as well.
Very, very cool. Well, thanks again so much, Abby, for coming on the show. Really awesome to meet you and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.